We're talking today about PeopleSmart looking for a job or ministry position, part two. In the first part, we were talking about these preparation things, these things that you need to do to get ready for interviewing for a job or ministry position. These principles are taken out of Mary Greenwood's book, How to Interview Like a Pro. What I'm also doing as an experienced pastor and church leader is I'm also going to give extra tips about church positions and things that you might want to think about. So, here you are, you've given your resume, you're coming to the job interview, and Mary makes the next point. Don't assume the resume was read. Don't assume the interviewer has actually read your cover letter, resume, or anything that you may have provided. And, you know, I'm going to stop this point right here. I've seen this before where somebody will launch into an interview, or I'm interviewing someone looking for a position, and they'll launch in and they'll say some point that's on their resume, a little detail point. And they're starting to talk about this. And honestly, as an interviewer, I don't remember that detailed point. And I sort of feel like that assumption shouldn't have been made. Instead, even though you have written a full explanation in your cover letter, don't be surprised if the questions cover what you've already included in your packet. Now, what I mean to say is this. If somebody comes across like they didn't read your cover letter, do not insult them about not reading it. This is an example of what I've seen. Somebody brought something up in a cover letter or a resume in a ministry interview, and as a questioner, I somehow said something that was covered in the cover letter, a question that would have been obvious if I would have remembered it. But remember, I've also had several other candidates, and sometimes when you're doing interviewing, things sort of all mix together. So I asked a question, and this is what the person being interviewed said to me, looked up and said, obviously, you should have read that in my cover letter. Whoa, as an interviewer and possible employer or leader of someone looking for a job, it makes me think, oh, is that how you're going to be every day? You should have done this. You should have making me feel bad about something. So don't assume that the resume was read. It may have been read. It may not have been read. You're at the interview because somebody read it and somebody liked it and somebody put you in that room. That's all the resume and the cover letter was purposed to accomplish in the first place. In this economy, you need to show the future employer why this organization needs you and how your experience and expertise are going to help it. This is where your research comes into play. You can show what you bring to the table. You're able to give some good suggestions on improvement that their competitors are using or suggest ways to save money. Now, churches are not in a competition mode, but many businesses are. The real important point here is not about comparisons or competitors. It's about what value do you bring to this church, this organization, this business? What about you is needed here? And you, after doing your research, you will know what about you is needed here, and you need to bring that out. Be observant. Look at the interaction between your prospective boss and associates. Observe whether the employees seem engaged. Usually a company will put its best foot forward for a prospective employee. If that is not happening, you may wonder why. What is the diversity of this employer? Who makes the coffee? Can you tell the management style of your future boss? This may be your future job. You need to pay attention. Think about that at a local church. Be observant. Do your research. Maybe you're going for a senior pastor position. Maybe you're going to be the head pastor. Be observant. Is there tension? Is there division in the church right now? If you take this position, are you going to be really chewed up like hamburger just because the church is hurting from a disaster from the last pastoral leadership? Be observant. Are people happy to talk to you and being there? These are all of these issues that are very important. You need to understand them as you are looking for a ministry position or any job for that matter. Always have questions. At some point in the interview, usually at the end, you will probably be asked if you have any other questions. Never say you don't have any questions, or that company has already answered all of them. This shows a lack of interest. This is your chance to show that you have some in-depth knowledge of the company and that you are genuinely interested in the position. This is generally not the time to ask about the compensation package. So there will be a time when they say, you know, Henry, do you have any questions? And if I'm interviewing for a local church, I might say, now, when was this church founded and how was it started? Let them talk about it. Why did you pick this location? This church is its ministry to the homeless. This church, its ministry to the young people. Has it always been operated on a Sunday evening? Was it ever Wednesday night? Can you explain more? See, these are all questions that show you are engaged in the local culture. Rehearse common questions. This is very important. When you get interviewed, there are certain questions that seem to come up many times. And each of you have sort of a different place as you're looking for a job. One question that often comes up is this: why are you interested in this position? Always answer this question in terms of your skills. Knowledge, experience can help your potential employer. Show them your enthusiasm. Don't give answers that involve money or benefits at these preliminary questions. Save that for later. So, why are you interested in this position? Be honest, be right to the point. Next, here's a common question. Tell me about yourself. Give the condensed version. Give them your elevator speech, the speech you give in an elevator to tell someone why they should hire you, which in most elevators will take about 30 seconds. The condensed version should have the same highlights that you have in your cover letter. Do not start chronologically and go through each of your jobs or what you did. That's the purpose of the resume. Be sure to highlight those areas in your background that are germane to the job description. Remember, you want to get the employer's attention. So, in a church setting, if someone says, tell me about yourself, the condensed version could be, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was saved when I was 12 years old, when I just asked the Lord to really come into my heart. Or I was raised in a Christian home. I've always known God. I've always known Christ. He's always been my Savior and Lord. My calling into ministry happened when I was 18 or when I was in prison or some place, and then come right to my calling is to minister to the youth, to lead Christians to salvation, to help the homeless, to minister to those in prison. Whatever that elevator speech, so to speak, is, bring that up right there. Tell about yourself. Talk in especially church settings about, you know, I'm married, I have children. Now, I know in some places, employers cannot ask you if you're married or you have children. It's actually against employment laws. However, in a church setting, these are all part of what it is to be in a community. And feel free to share these types of things. And if the church was very, very judgmental, you don't want to work there anyway. You wouldn't want to be in that kind of an environment that did not give you grace if there was something in your past that God saved you out of. Why were you fired is a common question. A lot of times, you know, because of sin and the imperfection of all of us, maybe you had a time in life when you were fired. This is probably the hardest question to answer, but you have to do it. This is why some employees resign, so they never have to answer this question. So, you know, people are just not wanting to be fired. There is a delicate balance between taking accountability and not blaming anyone else and making it bland enough so that you can be considered a viable candidate. If you were laid off, that is much easier to explain, since so many companies have eliminated positions and whole departments because of the economy. But let's talk about some suggestions. So here are some suggestions that Mary Greenwood suggests. Here's a sample answer. I was involved in a dispute with another employee. I lost my temper and was terminated. After that, I went to anger management class, which gave me some coping skills. I know that this will never happen again. Or here's another possible way. I had a problem with alcohol. I went to rehab and have been sober for 2 years. I've been working for 2 years, and I believe everyone deserves a second chance. Now, this is how Mary puts it. How I would put it if if I were to minister, yeah, I was fired. I came to know the Lord after that when my life was, you know, in a broken shambles, and Christ is turning me around, and I am saved by grace, and I believe that through his call, the power of the Holy Spirit, being prepared by ministry training at Christian Leaders Institute or wherever else you might be, I believe I'm ready to take that next step. Number three, Mary says, I was not fired. I was laid off because of budgetary concerns. Our whole section was eliminated because of the economy. You know, the point is, come with a sincere, understandable answer. There was some horseplay at work, and it got out of hand. I was terminated. I went to counseling and learned how to deal with my emotions. I learned my lesson, and I believe I will be a better employee because of all of this. I lied about something that I did. I regret doing that. I have no one to blame but myself. That was 10 years ago, and I feel bad. I feel that I'm a better person now because of this experience. I spent some time in jail, and I believe I've paid my debt to society. I finished my degree while in jail, helped others to learn to read. I have experience and education for this position. I won't let you down. Now, these are just suggestions from the author of our book, Mary. But for you know that if you have been fired in your past, come to a clear answer that's understandable, and talk with your family and friends and loved ones and counselors and mentors about what you would say in that if that question were asked to you. Here's another common question. Why did you leave your last job? This is a difficult question to answer, but not as hard as why were you fired? But this is still a tricky question, a sort of chicken and egg question. If the new job is a natural progression from the old job and is really a promotion with more money, that's fairly easy to explain. If you've been at the old job for less than a year, that can be a job hopping problem. If you're having problems at the old job, you may need to be very diplomatic about explaining these difficulties. Here are some sample answers. I have stopped learning. I have been there 5 years, and I'm doing the same thing over and over. It's time to move on. I want a challenge. I believe this job will provide that. Or, I love my job, but this new job opportunity with more responsibility and more money, it's natural progression of my experience and expertise. I am ready for a challenge, and I believe this job provides that. It is really not about leaving my old job. I see this great opportunity for my career. In addition, my widowed mother is sick and lives nearby. Now, all these answers have these nuances that when that question is asked, you have a credible answer. Now, in a ministry, whether it's a volunteer position you're being interviewed for or a paid position at a local church, what's great about that is you, many of you at Christian Leaders Institute are new into this. So you have jobs for your many, many years and your many, many experiences, and you can say, I'm looking for this new position because I'm called into ministry. I'm excited about this opportunity to start in ministry. Or if you're an experienced pastor, it can be, you know, I'm renewed in my challenge by God to make a difference in ministry. Another question that's often asked, what have you been doing since you were fired? Oh, somehow it's easier to get a job when you already have one, just as it's easier to get a loan when you already have money. The employer wants to see that you've been using your time in a productive fashion. Here are some suggestions. I went to Louisiana to help the cleanup effort and help rescue birds that have been afflicted by the oil spill. I wanted to get back to the community. I wanted to give back to the community. You know, in ministry, it could be like, why are we out of ministry? You know, I took a time away. And again, it must be true. If you didn't really go to Louisiana to clean up, don't say that. The point being is these are answers the employer, possible employer, is looking for. I've been teaching some class at the Small Business Association to help other unemployed workers. I've been rethinking the balance of work and family in my life, and I decided to take a part-time position. I've been a stay-at-home mom or dad for the summer, a stay-at-home mom. I really enjoyed it, but I'm definitely ready to go back to work. Here's one. I've been taking some courses at Christian Leaders Institute that's really helped me in my current skills. The point is to be thinking and writing down and rehearsing credible answers. Here's another one. Why do you want to work here? The employer wants to know why you have selected this company. Whatever your answer, don't say anything about money or benefits. Here are some suggestions. I have talked to friends that work here, and they always say this. This is the best employer in the area. Now, again, if you talk to friends and this is true, we employers like to hear that. Your engineering department is the best in the state, and I believe it's the best place to learn about my profession. Now, if you don't feel that you want to work there, they're not the best in the state, don't say that. This really is my dream job. I've always wanted to work for a company after I had some experience elsewhere. You know, I really want to work with this church. This church has a reputation of reaching the community. Now, again, as Christians, do not, something about these self-help books, and I just want to alert you to this if you haven't noticed this throughout the whole course, is don't just say something in order to get something. Don't be people smart because you want to manipulate anybody. Don't go to an interview and say what somebody wants to hear. Ultimately, be people smart in that you want to communicate who Christ is in you. You want to do it in a way that's understandable. You want to do it that advances a local church or a business that you're applying for. These sample answers just help you formulate understandable answers. Here's another one. What did you like about your current job, or maybe let's say your last job? But remember, this is also a trick question. If you like your job so much, why are you looking? If you don't like your job, what's wrong with you? See, these are just questions to think about. Sample answers. I learn something new every day, but I'm ready for a change. I like my boss, and I've been collaborating on a lot of projects. However, I've been working on the same project for 5 years, and I'm ready to move on. I love working with my coworkers. There's a sense of family here. I want to leave the area to be closer to my parents who need my help right now. They're in their 80s. So, here's another question. Why don't you like your current job? That question is very common too. You really can't say anything bad about your job without it sounding like you are the one at fault or that you are a whiner. So, these are the type of questions you have to think of credible answers for. Maybe a sample answer to that question is, I've worked in the same department for 10 years. I feel I've learned as much as I can at this position. That is why I'm looking elsewhere, to get some new experience and still use what I have learned here. I like to work alone on my projects. Here I am part of a large team. I would like the luxury of working on my own research. I believe this job offers those opportunities. I feel I'm a creative person, and this job, by definition, does not allow me to use my creative side. I am very excited about the prospects of bringing new ideas to the table. See, you know, don't copy these answers directly, but know to be thinking about the questions that are common at most interviews. Here's another one. What would your boss or former boss say about you? If you're a pastor or an associate pastor and you're moving on, or even if you're just finishing your training here at Christian Leaders Institute, something you may say is, what would people say about you? Never say anything bad about your current or past bosses, even if you feel they were the cause of any problems you had at work. In ministry, sometimes there will be a pastor who has certain idiosyncrasies, and somehow or other there's a clash, or God is using that clash to get you out of that spot. So never badmouth the former pastor. Know this, if you badmouth a former pastor while you're looking for a new position, or you badmouth the elders, badmouth the chairman of the committee, you know, what does badmouthing mean? It means talking bad about someone you're working with. Most times, an interviewing panel, a pastor will think, how long will it be before you will talk bad about me? So these are all these delicate things that you must really consider. Sample answers. My boss and I did not always see eye to eye on certain projects. I think it's a positive thing because he saw things that I missed and I saw things he missed. He would say that I was loyal and dependable. My boss and I have a good relationship. He knows I am interviewing today. He knows that I am looking for an opportunity to advance. He agrees that there aren't any promotional opportunities where I am working. So these are all things to think about. Here's another type of question. What is your style of management? Most companies do not want someone who will micromanage. That is, someone who can't delegate or hovers around employees telling him or her exactly how to do things. On the other hand, it doesn't want someone who can't deal with employee issues. Know your prospective company when you answer this question. Your research will tell you a lot about management style, and know how you would answer this type of question. Some sample answers: I don't micromanage, but I meet regularly with my staff to stay informed about the status of their projects. I try to delegate responsibility to my employees, but I let them know I am available if they need my help. Some employees need more or less supervision. I try to adapt a plan suited to an employee's knowledge, experience, and personality. Our employees are a great strength. I like to delegate projects to them and let them work them out in detail. Now, in the world of the pastoring, is in working with volunteers, do you micromanage them? And you could just say, you know what, I don't try to micromanage anyone. I want to create a stage for the volunteer to do well. I want to give them all the tools they need to take their next step in ministry. I want to get out of the way of their stage. And yet, I want to also connect them to the vision and mission of this local church. What senior pastor or person or search committee would not really respond to that answer? But again, remember, if you get the position and in fact you just micromanage, you don't create ministry stages for others. It's all about your ego. It will not go well for you, even if you had a great and successful interview that got you the job. Here's some other. I expect employees to show initiative and be self-starters, but I have regular oversight. I like to ask my employees' opinions and get consensus, but at the end of the day, it's still my decision. I adhere to the one-minute manager strategy invented by Kenneth Blanchard and try to find employees doing something right. You know, in other words, I'm an encourager. I like management by walkabout. I like to get out into the field and see how employees are doing on the job. It also helps me know what is going on. And in a church, these things have their connection. I love to check on volunteers in a way that encourages them. I like to make sure they have the tools and resources necessary to serve at this church. Here's another question that's very common in an interview. What are your strengths? Now, this, and again, for pastors and leaders, we have this feeling that we should be humble, and we should be humble. Humble in being teachable. Humble in being honest about ourselves. But in an interview, even though it might feel you're being braggy, in an interview, you really want to say what you believe your strengths are. This is the time to toot your own horn in a godly way. Don't lie. Don't embellish. But if you feel you're good about something, the interviewers want to hear what you believe you're good at. This is a good way to highlight your achievements, experience. I always try to put some integrity strengths such as fairness, honesty, or loyalty. As you go through the list, keep the job description in mind so you hit those strengths that are needed for the position as well. In other words, if you really feel you're strong at youth ministry and you're applying for the music ministry, to talk about your strengths in youth ministry when you're applying for a music ministry position, that's not that relevant. I always add a sense of humor, and if you've got that sense of humor, go ahead and use it there because it gives a sense of resiliency. You know, don't ever say you can't think of one weakness. When you're asked the question, what are your weaknesses, and that will come up, don't ever say you can't think of one. That just does sound arrogant. Be honest, but pick a relatively weak weakness. It's also good to say that you're working on your weaknesses so that you have conquered and that you have conquered most, have them conquered most of the time. Your interviewers don't want to know that sometimes you have tantrums, take a lot of time off, that you don't get along with coworkers. If you're applying for a budget position, don't say you're not good with numbers. Now, you know, I read this from Mary Greenwood, and these are some of the times when a general author writes something, and I sort of cringe. You know, in a church, we want to be honest, and yes, we can pick a relative weak weakness, but I really do believe that you need moderation in that. If there is a weakness, you know, share that. It's not going to torpedo your possible ministry position if your strengths are what someone needs. You know, I one of my weaknesses is details. I'm not a big detail person. I'm organized. I work well on a team, but I'm not this detailed person. You know, I don't see the little details that others around me see. You know, I have plenty of weaknesses. And in some ways, it's not about our weaknesses. It's about what God is doing, not what God is not doing. In books like this, what they say is to hide your weaknesses. In Christianity, no, we accent what God has called us to do, and we're okay with our weaknesses because we read in the Bible that in my weaknesses I am strong. There are others that can help us. Some sample answers she has: sometimes I have too much on my plate, and I'm stretched too thin. I'm working on delegating some of these projects to others. I'm working on the balance between my work life and family life. I used to do things myself rather than take time to explain to others exactly what I wanted. Now I try to have more patience and take the time to explain and mentor others so they can learn. Sometimes I'm impatient, but I'm learning the virtues of patience. I can be a perfectionist, but I'm taking measures to overcome this. I realize that everything I write does not have to be perfect to be acceptable. Yeah, these are nice answers, but the fact of the matter is like a healthy transparency is very important in ministry interviews. Here's a question. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Now, this can be a very delicate answer. You want to show healthy ambition. You don't want to but you don't necessarily want the boss to think you are gunning for her or his job. At least not right away. That was kind of a humorous side note there. You don't want to say that you're only staying until you find a better job. You do not want to do that. The point of this question is to see whether you are a job hopper or whether you will stay for a reasonable period of time. If you are asked how long you think you will stay at the company, 5 years is a good minimum. Try to give a specific number of years. The important point is that you don't want to be stagnant and not growing in the same position for 5 years. What about a wacky question? Some employers like to ask some wacky questions. Remember what Barbara Walters asked Katharine Hepburn, what kind of tree she would like to be? When you get a wacky question, you have to wing it. See if you can give a humorous answer without appearing flaky or insincere. I found that that's a good way to clear the air. If you don't understand the question, you say you don't understand the question. You know, wacky questions come. Sometimes you just look up and smile. Don't say much. Your smile will just light the room. They'll all laugh. And then somebody will ask the next question because they know it's a wacky question. Maybe you'll be asked this question, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Many applicants, and maybe you're in ministry training and you've had jail time and God has saved you and now you're on an entirely different path than what you were on before your incarceration. Many applications will ask you whether you've been convicted of a felony in the last 7 or 10 years. If you've been convicted of a felony outside the 7 or 10 year period, you can respond no. That's actually in law in the United States. If you've been convicted of a misdemeanor only, you can respond no. If you've been arrested but not convicted, it is also a no. Being arrested cannot be held against you. However, if you've been recently arrested and it has not been resolved yet and you're awaiting a trial, you should tell your prospective employer. Now, this is what Mary says, and the law does say you don't have to respond to that question if it's outside that 7 or 10 year period. But in a church, transparency is highly valued. And in general, somebody may have an ethical conscience reason to say, yes, I have, even if it happened 25 years ago. You know, I'm giving you the writings of someone who's an expert in this area, but how I would do it is I would be transparent all the time about that question. Some applications ask you if you've been convicted of a crime, which includes misdemeanor and felonies. If the employer sees something in a criminal history check, it's going to look it's going to look at the specifics of the felony or crime and how long ago it occurred. If it was a youthful indiscretion like joyriding, the company is more likely to minimize it. However, if it was a recent conviction, it may have a negative impact on your chances of employment. Here's another one. Have you done anything that would embarrass your employer? If you've been involved in something unethical or used bad judgment, you need to be honest about it. You have to expect a criminal history check, a check of local newspaper stories, reference checks. They will Google your name, check your social media accounts like Facebook or MySpace. If you dress up at Halloween in a skimpy costume and then you want to apply for a ministry position, that may not do very well. And then you put it up on Facebook, your judgment may be questioned, especially if alcohol or drugs were involved. So I want to talk a little bit about social media. What's the purpose of Facebook? The purpose of Facebook is to track the history of your life in a way that's transparent for everyone to see. What I would suggest, many of you need to go back to your Facebook and delete anything that would be an embarrassment to the Lord. Anything that would hurt your opportunity to be who you are right now. And do not post things on Facebook that give the idea that you are something different. Because the fact of the matter is if you do, and if you're offended by me just telling you this, I want to challenge you in your ministry readiness. We don't want anything on our Facebook that doesn't somehow glorify God. Now, and here's the other thing to do. Stay away from political issues. Stay away from controversial issues. Stay away from these issues that are highly judgmental. You don't need to carry those issues forward. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to see our world. In some ways, Facebook is your brand out there, who you are to the world. If you choose to do Facebook, be very careful about projecting that truth about you that glorifies God. Now, somebody may say, well, then maybe that's not the real me. Well, you know, we're all sinners. And, you know, if somebody could take Facebook and it could just be about, you know, accenting those things that God is saving you from or not saving you from. Personally, I choose to use Facebook to accent what God is saving me into, what I cherish about life, what's going to go on my timeline so that if God allows me to be 90 years old, I can look back at the timeline in the year 2011 or 14 or 2020, and I can look back and see the memories of my life. That's what Facebook ought to be. Not a diatribe of critical assault or a pulpit to try to talk about controversial issues. You will ultimately embarrass employers and they will notice your Facebook. Now, that's all the kind of questions and so forth that might come in terms of the common ones. There will be more, but this at least gives you a few good suggestions. In each country in the world, there are different hiring laws. And it's important to know these laws that prohibit things like discrimination, to know whether an interviewer is asking legal or illegal questions. You know, here's my feeling about that, is as Christians, we should not try to get a gotcha on employers. If an employer asks a illegal question, fine. You know, forgive them. It's not sinning against God unless it is a question that sins against God. But in the end of the day, if we're right away looking for a gotcha, looking for what they did wrong, even if you call them into question and you report them to the Better Business Bureau or to the government, who would want to hire someone that's in such a gotcha motivation and doesn't have grace? In the world out there, in the general culture, there are these types of laws, and they are there for protection, and I will grant you that. But in general, understand that if the relationship is already about legal discussions and legal boundaries, this may not be the place that you want to work. So, we've talked about people smart looking for a job or a ministry position, and there's a lot to this, but as you've taken this class, I know that you are being prepared to take that next step in your preparation, whether it's bivocational ministry or whether it's looking for a position at a church. And I know that, and I believe in you, I believe that God has a plan for you and a purpose in looking for that next position.